All right. Good morning. My name is Sarah, and today I'm going to talk to you about crop rotation and tillage management effects on grain yield in southeastern South Dakota on a study that's been going on for quite some time, since 1991. And it's still going on today, but this is a summary up to 2016, so about 26 years of research. I'm just going to go over some of the issues we have in South Dakota crop production to start off with, and then the experimental design and methods of this, some of our findings, conclusion, and what we're doing with that information. So to give you a little bit of a background, South Dakota crop production has some main players. Corn and soybean are king, you can see here, followed by hay and haylage, and then wheat. As you move further south and west in our state, we see more small grains, sunflower, sorghum, oat, and a few other crops, peas, safflower, for example, are also grown in South Dakota. What happens is the eastern portion of the state really sees more of our row crops, and as I mentioned, as you move west, you'll see a little more range and diversity. So if you look at South Dakota, there's a river there in the middle, which doesn't show up that well on this map, but as I said, eastern South Dakota is a little more intensive cropping systems. In western South Dakota, we have a little more drier climate, arid climate, that lends to more diversity, a lot more livestock there. So we've got more hay production, forage production, and rangeland. So we see a little bit better cropping systems diversity where there is farming in western South Dakota. So I just wanted to show this. It seems like a lot of our agriculture and farming community has a short memory. This is a famous picture here in the top left, from Dallas, South Dakota in 1936 in the heat of the Dust Bowl. And on the right is a picture from 2017 in South Dakota. And you can see that erosion is ever still a problem in much of the U.S., but I just thought this was a poignant photo to show that it's still happening. We still have the issues, and we really don't want anything like 1936, like this photo, to happen again. So that's why we're looking into research like this, and part of the reason that this study was developed way back in 1991. So some changes that we are already seeing involve conservation tillage and no-till systems. There is a steady, it feels like, increase in no-till systems in South Dakota, or at least people that are scaling back tillage to the degree that they're comfortable with or able to do based on their system. And this is an example in eastern South Dakota, a common setup for a no-till planter. But it really depends on where you're at and the social status of the area. It's a big social issue, too, for some people. It's a tradition issue. And in other senses, it's a cropping systems problem. People are having trouble moving to less tillage or don't have the equipment or just aren't ready to take the plunge. But we are seeing some changes. In the 90s, we had a kind of a no-till movement across the Midwest, and it seems like people tried it and they either liked it and stuck with it, and that's the kind of people we generally see planting with rigs like this today, or they tried it on a bad year or didn't like something they saw and they just won't go back or haven't gone back. It seems like we have a little bit of that. And then there's the folks that never did try it in the first place. So looking at the issues that we do have, we decided, I shouldn't say we, because I was barely alive in 1991, but someone decided to start a research study near Beersford, South Dakota, where you'll see the star there in the bottom right-hand corner of the state there in the southeast corner. So like I said, established in 1991, and the treatments we're going to look at today are tillage and crop rotation and their interactions. So the study was set up on an Egan-Trent silty clay loam, not an uncommon soil in that part of the world, 0 to 2% slope, so relatively flat, and an annual rainfall there at the weather station of 26.4 inches. There were two tillage treatments that we're going to talk about today. There are other treatments in the study, but I'm going to focus on the tilled and simply the no-tilled, which is the tilled would be, it was always spring field cultivated, but following corn and small grain, they did have some fall chisel plowing, and then following soybean, it was just simply spring field cultivated. The no-till is just as it sounds. There is no tillage on that block and has not been since the beginning of the study. We're going to look at two crops here. I'm focusing on corn and soybean yields as those are our big players, and that's what we have time for today. So looking at the rotations that I'm going to talk about, there's a two-year rotation, which is simply a corn-soybean rotation and has been for the duration of the study. There's a corn-soybean small grain rotation, which has almost always been corn-soybean small grain, but there was a time when there were some peas put into that rotation in place of small grains in the 2000s. So that happened for a few years there. And then there's a rotation that we're calling a flex rotation. It was truly a four-year rotation always for corn, and it was almost always a four-year rotation for soybean, but there was a couple years where soybean were put back-to-back in the 2000s. And then beyond that, we saw a little bit of everything. Basically, as the farm changed management, or if they had something they really wanted to hone in on, they changed that rotation a little bit. So that gives you some background there. It's currently corn, soybean, oat, winter wheat. It's been like that since 2013, when the current manager, Dr. Sexton, took over the farm and tried to get a steady rotation there. It's a split block design. The main block is rotation, the split is tillage, and it has four replications, all in relatively close proximity with just a small alley for driving in between. The plot size is 60 by 300 feet. So they're decent sized plots, and that does lend to a few different issues when we have plots like this. Some of those might consist of traffic control. So using a 6-row corn soybean planter on 30-inch rows is not so common these days. You know, most people are much larger than that in size. So our traffic control wouldn't be comparable to that of what we're seeing in the fields in South Dakota. Equipment being bigger, there's a little better traffic control. And then the fertilizer is broadcast on these plots. So some people have concerns with banding. I'm not here to harp on that today, but just so you're aware, it is broadcast fertilizer, and that's the historical management of these plots, which has been kept relatively consistent over time. But as you know, with smaller plot sizes, sometimes you end up with some of these issues going on. So getting to the results here, the main effects and interaction table is the first thing I wanted to go over. You can see that year, of course, was highly significant in both corn and soybean. Rotation showed some significance with the corn, but not the soybean. And tillage was highly significant in the soybeans, but we didn't see anything with the corn. However, the interactions in corn were all highly significant, and we did see significant interactions with the soybean there too, between yields in those various year by rotation by till, and year by rotation by till. So we decided to look into tillage a little bit further, and I just wanted to preface this with, we'd like to take the farmer approach with this study. A lot of these results really go directly to the producers through Extension. I work 100% for Extension now, so we take information like this and really like to get it out there. So we did kind of take a farmer approach to the statistics in this study. And first we looked at individual years with ANOVA, and basically how many growing seasons did one treatment over the other have a win, have a higher yield. So looking at the corn, you can see that the conventional till in the two-year rotation won four times, with the no-till winning two. But mainly, if you look across this table, most of the time there was no significant wins, if you will, across seasons. But we see no-till having more wins over the three-year and flex rotation in corn and all three rotations in the soybean. So that kind of led to some interesting thoughts, and we wanted to look a little further. Why we're seeing that difference with that corn two-year rotation was also of interest to us. So average corn grain yields, we decided to use a paired t-test for this, again kind of looking at the farmer approach and keeping this simple. So the two-year rotation has a almost 7 bushel per acre significant difference lending to tillage. However, the three-year rotation and four-year rotation tend to have higher yields in the no-till treatment, but it was not significant. And overall, we had about 1 bushel per acre on average higher yield in the tilled treatments. So that tells us something about diversity of rotation. If we just kind of look at this table and think about that, obviously rotation had an effect with having that more diverse cropping system allowed us to have a significant impact there apparently on the no-till treatments. And I'd also like to preface or add that the two-year rotation is really taken at a very conservative approach. There was some strange outlying data that we did not remove because we didn't want to be biased in this study, and there was also never any additional fertilizer added for no-till. The South Dakota fertility recommendations would suggest that you do that, but it has never been done on this study. So this is a very conservative approach. Looking at the soybean yields, we don't see that two-year effect. We're seeing significant significantly higher yields in the no-till for both the two-year and the flex rotation. And then that three-year rotation, we had a trend for higher yields at a bushel, but it was insignificant. So on average, we did have a significantly higher yield with that no-till treatment over the years of this study at 1.6 bushel per acre. And when you do the rough math and you look at the average values, basically what we're seeing is that in that two-year rotation, the soybean treatment with its 1.6 or 1.3 bushel per acre significant difference over the corn treatment and its 7 bushel per acre negative effect with the no-till, economically it actually is still a win. So when we consider the cost of tillage and the cost of soybeans and that boost in yield in the soybeans, it's still overcoming the negative effect we saw in the corn yields in the two-year rotation. So that's from the farmer perspective economically. So in conclusion, soybean yields tended to be higher under no-till, corn yields tended to be 5 to 7 bushel per acre lower in that conservative two-year no-till, but not in longer rotations. We didn't see that. And rotation was more important in no-till than in conventional till systems, based upon the results of this study. So what are we doing with this data? We're doing some publication work. It hasn't been published yet, but we're working on it. And we do have, I wanted you to be aware of a few groups in South Dakota that are working on our soil health movement, if you will. We have a new South Dakota Soil Health Coalition. We have a no-till association that's been around for a long time in our state. The USDA NRCS is doing a lot of work with conservation tillage. And we also have a grasslands coalition that works with the folks that have a lot of range production in South Dakota and work on topics like this. I'd like to acknowledge the South Dakota Ag Experiment Station and the Southeast Research Farm and their staff and the NRCS staff in South Dakota for working on efforts like this. Are there any questions? Thank you. Yeah.
Are there any measurements or assessments of how much no-tillage improves soil conservation compared to tillage?
It depends on, in this particular study, I guess it depends on what specific aspect of improving, how you interpret the term improving soil conservation,
well,
I guess.
Generally overall or in other studies, is there any assessment of why no-tillage is so much better than tillage?
Oh, why in general?
On a quantitative basis related to soil conservation.
I can't tell you off the top of my head numbers, quantitative numbers, I guess, but I can tell you that the topics that you generally see discussed are organic matter improvement, more, you know, less topsoil loss, less erosion in general, and water infiltration is a huge factor. In a lot of the research work I've seen, improved water infiltration, and I've done some of those myself, but I can't relay to you the numbers off the top of my head, but that's a big one. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If the yield has no, if there's no difference between the rotation and no rotation, the farmers still accept that 10 by the year to rotate their crops?
Do they still accept that they should rotate?
Right.
It depends on who you ask. In eastern South Dakota, it's a tougher battle because it's been corn soybean a long time, and that's market driven, and that's tradition driven, and that's socially driven, I think. And it costs money to buy equipment for small grains. But this isn't the only data we have. This is just the best long-term data I'm aware of in southeastern South Dakota. And we do have data that shows that rotation does have a significant impact, especially in the center of our state. We have another research farm that's done a lot of work similar to this. And they do have some hard numbers that show some significant differences. So it just depends on who you talk to. But most of the farmers, we seem to be able to influence the influencers. And they're more interested in if we can convince their neighbor to do it, then we can convince them to do it, if that tells you anything, to be honest. Thank you.
All right, very good. Thank you.